从1999年到2007年，中国的器官移植呈现爆炸式的发展，自2003年几乎是成倍的增长。那么在中国的部分医院呢，甚至宣称他们的等待时间只有7到14天。这在其他国家也形成了一股到中国大陆进行器官移植的热潮，这股热潮也为器官的来源画上了一个巨大的问号。在中国，由于受传统文化的影响，每年的器官捐赠数字也只有2位数。即便是如中共官方所说的，有超过90%的器官来自死刑犯，但是仍旧远远无法满足每年上万起的器官移植。这不禁令人怀疑，这背后是否隐藏了一个系统的、庞大的活体器官库？2006年3月，有知情人士曝光了中国大陆活体摘取法轮功学员器官的惨案，使这一隐藏在黑暗中的罪恶的、血腥的器官来源浮出了水面。在今天的访谈影片中，受访者是大卫·麦塔斯和大卫·乔高。大卫·麦塔斯是加拿大著名的人权律师，大卫·乔高是加拿大前国会议员，他们对这一项严肃的指控进行了详细的调查，并将调查结果集结成这本书《血腥的活摘器官》，在国际社会引发了强烈的关注。
One of the first people we met with was the wife of a former surgeon, and she told us, and I guess this was 2006, she's now a refugee living in the United States. She told us that her husband, during the period 2001-2003, had removed the corneas from the eyes of approximately 2,000 Falun Gong practitioners in a place called Sujiatin in rural China. And he told her in detail how he'd done it. He couldn't sleep. He had nightmares. Eventually, she got him to stop doing it. And they ended up leaving the country, and she's now in the U.S. And in fact, at one point, her former husband was in Canada. But what basically happened was that people would be brought into a hospital near Sujiatin, and they would be given, a light anesthetic. Their corneas would be removed. Then they're unconscious at this point. They'd be taken into another room, and their heart, lung, all their vital organs would be removed for sale purposes. It was eventually they did all the operations in one room. But the thought of this now, a lot of people unfortunately have attacked her. So what we've done in the book is we've basically got about 52 kinds of evidence. And I was a prosecutor for 10 years, so I should know something about evidence. And you might say, I don't like the one I just mentioned to you. I don't like the fact that we had people, for example, calling into China to hospitals and prisons and saying, do you have Falun Gong practitioners available for organs? And the answer in about 15 institutions across the country was yes. We recorded those conversations. We had independent interpreters. So that's number two. And we've got about another 50 pieces of evidence that I think lead any fair-minded person to the conclusion that this truly is taking place in China and is continuing to take place.
Well, you're talking about organ harvesting, right? Yeah. And so tell us about that piece
of
it.
Well, if you, Robert, want a new liver, you can go on the internet and you can, I think still, you can fly to a place like Shanghai, check into the number one people's hospital, and they take your blood type and your tissue type, and then they go on the computer base, and they because all of the Falun Gong practitioners, which David mentioned a minute ago, are in these work camps. They find there's a match for you in, say, camp number 75. Somebody goes out to camp 75 and brings this compatible person into a hospital. It's a he, is given a light anesthetic. His liver is taken out, and of course he's dead. The liver is then flown to you in Shanghai by the People's Liberation Army aircraft. You've paid probably $60,000, whatever the price is for a liver at the time. And you're told you're getting the liver from a convicted criminal who was going to be executed anyway. So you're desperate about your liver, and you want to believe that that the person was going to die anyway. And you fly back to San Diego with your new liver, and somebody has died so that you could have the new liver. That's a lot more than persecution. That's something that David has called a new crime against humanity. And we've just been, and we've actually talked to people who've been in these camps, Falun Gong practitioners. And I'm going to talk to one in a talk tomorrow about a young woman who worked 16 hours a day making products for export, like Christmas decorations. And there are about, the estimates vary, but there are about 300,000 people working in these forced labor camps. And every 3 months, a doctor would come in and examine her from top to bottom. And she'd say to herself, well, why are they examining me? They have no interest in me except to torture me or to overwork me for nothing. But now she understands, and people understand, as they're being tested to see how good their organs are for sale of the organs. This is something unimaginable I think, to most human beings in China and in elsewhere.
And you said there are other people in the labor camps, but it's only the Falun Gong people who get tested and whose organs are harvested. Do you have a sense of why?
Oh, yes. Interestingly, when David got our awards in Switzerland, we had a meeting with the Transplant Society in Switzerland. And the doctor, who's the head of it there, he said he heard this woman get up and say how she'd been tested and how she'd been tested in these camps. One of them was a scan of her organs, and he said he agreed, the penny dropped for him then, because he realized she wasn't being examined for her health. She was being examined to see whether through an ultrasound to see whether her organs were in good condition for being sold.
这东西你要少录着你才能找，要不少录着你给人家打通各种关节台，能够拿，那你的费用就比较大了。哦，因为他呢，那个他就像批发价了，知道吗？哦，就他那批发价，比如说就说你们以前用的就是是从哪里找，是看守所还是到这个监狱呢？监狱里面找的。哦，监狱里啊，他那种就是都是那种健康的法轮功是吧？
健康的法轮功，对对对，看亲自学好的茶才能做完，因为这种东西，特别保证质量的。哦，那就是你们还要亲自去挑选是吧？对对对。哎，那你们。
Wang Zhifu, the deputy health minister, said in March 2012 that China, for a long period of time, used executed prisoners as the source for transplant organs, accounting for around 90% of transplants. In China, the annual execution number is around 10,000 people. For a match between the organs and patients, the success rate is between 25 to 30%. In other words, if all of the executed prisoners were used, only about 3,000 transplants can take place. In the US, the number of transplants per year remains pretty much the same every year. But in the year 2000 in China, there was a 42% growth. After 2004, there was a surprising 66% and 43% growth. And there were more than 20,000 transplants annually. If what Huang Zhifu said was true, that 90% of the organs came from executed prisoners, 60,000 executed prisoners would be needed. This is about the population of Venice, Italy. According to the data from the U.S. Scientific Registry of Transplants Recipients, The average waiting time for a kidney in the U.S. is 4 years. The period differs between states. For example, it could take up to 6.5 years in California. Even for organs with shorter waiting times, like a liver, the waiting period is still 2 years. But in 2006, Chinese hospitals ran promotions saying things like, "Waiting for an organ? It only takes 2 weeks here." Tianlanshao Prison is Shanghai's largest prison. In 2004, it published a report saying the prison performed physical exams, including blood pressure, heart and lung auscultation, liver and spleen palpation, as well as x-rays of the chest cavity. The cost per person is on average $10. Blood tests, which would be needed to detect organ functions, are not part of the test. For Falun Gong practitioners detained there, it is commonplace for their blood to be tested. Also, some had ultrasounds. A heart ultrasound costs around $35. A liver ultrasound is around $15. We know that a physical exam like this costs at least $60. For a prison, this is no doubt a huge cost.
But so why is it only the Falun Gong practitioners?
Because the Falun Gong practitioners don't smoke and drink. They're healthy. They exercise. They tend to be healthy. And our phone calls push this point, too, that the people want organs from Falun Gong. That's why they would phone the hospitals and ask them if they have Falun Gong available, or prisons, if they have them available for transplants.
So it's a business decision, in a sense. And it's a business decision, David, that involves the government. It sounds like it's a whole governmental policy, as opposed to some crackpot part of the bureaucracy. Is that correct?
When the system first cracked down on the Falun Gong, as I mentioned, the Falun Gong community was spread throughout the party, so there was a lot of leakages. And we've actually got the memorandum from Jiang Zemin to the Central Committee of the Communist Party asking for the banning of Falun Gong, so we can see what the reasons were that were given. The banning by the party was in June 1999, and by the state was in July 1999. Initially, it was ineffective, and it generated a lot of protests. And there were people coming out to Tiananmen Square and saying, you know, Falun Gong is good, and so on. The party set up an office called the 610 office, with 610 being June 10th, the date of the banning by the party. I don't know how familiar you are with the way the Chinese party works in China, but basically they've set up a shadow organization paralleling the whole state structure, and it's the party that tells the state what to do through this parallel organization. And so the 610 was part of this parallel party structure that was telling what the state what to do in terms of persecution of Falun Gong. And so they set up this structure, and they could see it wasn't working. So then the party called a meeting in November 1999 in Beijing. And again, there's leakage, so we know what went on in the meeting. And they announced a kind of shift in policies, a kind of a more severe crackdown in Falun Gong. They said, defame their reputations, to bankrupt them financially, destroy them physically. Those were the words of the 610 office. So this physical destruction became a party and state policy for the Falun Gong. There was a number of things going on at once. One was this policy of destroying them physically. Second was the big money to be made from the sale of organs. Because there's a global demand for organs, and the money that could be made was huge. The third was the need of the health system for money. The health system was losing money because of the shift from socialism to capitalism, and they needed money, and this was a good way of simply keeping the doors open. Another factor was the nature of the military, because the military in China is not a defense activity only, or even an invasion activity only. It's a in a conglomerate business, and the military is involved in hospitals, including transplant hospitals, as a way of making money for the military, and the military have a very similar culture to the prison guard system. They're in their close ties to the prison guard system. There's also, of course, the demonization and marginalization of the Falun Gong. I mean, although this demonization was not the awful things that were said and believed about the Falun Gong were not the reason for the banning. They became an ex post facto justification for the repression. And so the Falun Gong, people said it was an evil cult, that they killed themselves, they killed others, and so within the party and the prison system, people started to believe this dehumanization.
The Chinese government is, in reality, controlled by the shadow government of the Chinese Communist Party, and this fact needs to be understood when discussing issues in China. Under the Communist Party, there is the Central Politics and Law Commission of the Communist Party of China, also known as the Central Political and Legislative Affairs Committee. The PLAC controls the entire country's intelligence, police, procuratorate, judiciary, and re-education through labor systems. What does this mean? This means the person in charge of the PLAC can order the police to arrest you based on reasons that aren't suitable for disclosure for so-called intelligence investigation. They can have you prosecuted and ask the court to sentence you in accordance to their wishes. Of course, you will end up in a labor camp. All of this is controlled through one system. There are no checks and balances of power. Under such conditions, laws have basically lost their functions. During the investigation, we also found that the theft and sale of organs was nearly always closely linked with the PLAC system.
China has not had a donation system till last year, and even the donation system they set up last year has generated zero donations. Well, 37.
Was it 37?
37 in 1 year across China. Oh, wow. Those are the effects. So, I mean, it's you know, statistically zero. And they don't have a law allowing sourcing from the brain dead, cardiac, alive accident victims. They're virtually the sole source of organs. I mean, if you went with your relative to a hospital, you could make a donation, but virtually the sole source is prisoners, and it was started off prisoners sentenced to death and then executed. But and China executes a lot of people. But you know, as the demand for transplants increased, it eventually bumped up against the ceiling of the execution totals, and so they needed the money. They had this huge demonized population, The population of the Falun Gong, they were doing in the end, or now what they're doing is about 10,000 transplants a year. But the population of the Falun Gong in these re-education through labor camps is in the hundreds of thousands. So they had this huge organ donor bank that was available. A lot of money to be made. These were non-persons. Policy was to destroy them physically. I mean, we don't have a policy directive saying kill them for their organs, but it's the confluence of these events. The party for sure knows they're being killed for their organs. I mean, it's the military is doing it, and the military is obviously part of the state. So I would say in terms of complicity and in terms of knowing it's there and not doing anything to stop it, in terms of criminal intent, I think it's there.
One of the interesting things for me is how little many of us in the U.S. know about this. Why? What's your hypothesis,
well,
or what's your evidence?
David's been to San Diego before. We've been to New York and
Pittsburgh and to just about you name it. We've been to a lot of places in the States. And some of the media have been helpful. The Christian Science Monitor, for example, has been very good about this. Frankly, I think the New York Times carried an article once when our first report came out. But papers like the Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Los Angeles Times, if I'm not mistaken, have not been covering this issue.
Do you have any evidence? Is that a hypothesis that the major media outlets aren't covering it? Or do you have some more concrete evidence?
Well, here's my experience with CNN, and David will have his too. I was in Australia, and I was to do an interview with CNN in Australia about the organ pillaging. And the last minute was canceled, and later I discovered why. The person, CNN in Hong Kong, in fairness, not CNN in the U.S., had an agreement with the government of China that if they discussed this topic from Hong Kong, they had to have a representative from the government of China on to reply. And because, of course, the government of China had nothing substantive to say, I presume, about the issue, therefore she couldn't talk to me because she couldn't get someone from the government of China to give an opposing point of view. So the interview was canceled. She did say she'd do it in the States, but CNN has never called me back. Perhaps they've called David.
David, have they?
CNN, no. Let me give you another example. The Chinese government has produced a video of us, of our report, where they interview. I mean, it's a piece of Chinese propaganda. They interviewed the people we interviewed, people we called or people we quoted, and basically got them to say what the party wanted them to say. Didn't interview us. It was done in Mandarin. It's available at the embassies, but it was broadcast on Phoenix TV, Hong Kong television station, at the time owned by Murdoch, a major Western media figure,
yes.
and who's very interested, of course, Phoenix TV. I mean, Phoenix TV is in Hong Kong, but it wanted to penetrate the Mandarin market in China.
And perhaps it relates to the fact that your government is, almost owned by the government of China in terms of the number of treasury bills and so on, more than $2 trillion, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a lot.
And we've been to the State Department, I guess, two or three times, and I think the State Department knows and accepts what we're saying, but they won't say it. And maybe the reason they won't say it is that if they say it, then they have to do something, or at least protest about it.
The U.S. Department issued its annual country reports on human rights practices on May 24th. The report mentioned the issue of organ harvesting in China. This is the first time the issue has appeared in an official U.S. report. According to the Epoch Times newspaper, this could be linked to the confidential information provided by a senior official from Chongqing. The official fled to the U.S. consulate in Chengdu in February. At the present time, it would appear that the crime of forced organ harvesting still continues.
在法轮功学员被迫害的13年中，仅仅前2年，中共官方的统计就有超过10万人被劳教，很多人到现在仍旧行踪不明。我们所掌握的有名有姓的法轮功学员的死亡人数有3500人，那么其他的法轮功学员究竟在哪里？